Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochim Daf Chof Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the beginning of the second perek, the new perek of Psochim, perek Kol Shah. You will notice that some of the points dealt with in our sukkah are reminiscent of things we have dealt with in the past. And let us, without any further ado, begin the Mishnah, and you'll see the similarity. Kol Shah Shemutur Lechol, the hours of the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, the hours that one is allowed to eat chametz still in the morning hours, Ma'achil, he can feed Lebehemo, Lechaya, Uleoifos, he can feed his animals. A behemo is a domesticated animal, a chaya is an undomesticated animal, Ofos are birds, Umocher Lenochri, Umutur Bahanoso, he can sell the chometz to a Gentile, and he can benefit from it. Other benefits, Ovar Zmanoi, Osur Bahanoso, once the time passes, then the chometz becomes forbidden to benefit from, Velo Yasig Bo Tanur Vikirayim, and one cannot fire up his Tanur Kram, different types of ovens. The Gemara will be asking, does this not seem to be redundant? In other words, once you tell me that it's osur bano, it's forbidden to benefit from, so is it not so that firing up your oven is also a form of benefit? Why do you spell that out? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ein biur chometz elo sreifa. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the destruction of chometz must be done through burning. That's the only way that one fulfills the requirement of chometz destruction. The chachamim omrim af mefar vezora lurach oy matiliam. The chachamim are suggesting you have any method of destruction. Mefar is to crumble it into crumbs and scatter it to the wind, or toss it into the sea. The Gemara opens up with a discussion which this too is something that we have learned in the past. Looking at the language of the Mishnah, Kol Shah Shemutur Lechol Ma'achil, the hours of the morning of the 14th that one can eat, he can feed to others. We can infer, Ha, Kol Shah Sheino Mutur Lechol Eino Ma'achil. Those hours that one is not allowed to eat, so he cannot feed. He cannot feed others. That is the inference we're drawing from the Mishnah. Now, this leads us to a question, and the question is a long question. You can see we have a long question marking. Lemo masnisin de lo krebuta. Shall we suggest that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Yehuda? Now, here there's a very interesting grammatical or structural point. This is going to be a Gemara that features a rare occurrence where the word lema, which ordinarily suggests a point or a suggestion that will be rejected, in this case, it actually stands up till the end of the Gemara. So when the Gemara here is saying, shall we say that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Yehuda? In fact, our Mishnah will turn out to be unlike Rebbe Yehuda. And this is a point that Tosfos features. So those of you who are familiar with the lemo expression, which almost always suggests something that will not be accepted, in this case it is accepted. So lemo masnisin de lo krebuta, shall we say that our Mishnah is not like Rebuta? De'i Rebbe Yehuda, for if our Mishnah were in accordance with Rebbe Yehuda, ha iko chomesh, there is the fifth hour of the 14th of Nisan, the fifth hour of the day, the Eino Ochel, that's an hour during which one cannot eat chometz any longer, U Ma'achil, but he can, however, feed others. He can feed his animals, for example. And when we speak about being Ma'achil, so obviously it's not a reference to another Jew eating, because we're already at a time that it's forbidden for a Jew himself to eat. But Ma'achil is a reference to feeding the animals. Bear in mind that all of these early hours of the 14th of Nisan and their respective restrictions are all of a rabbinic nature. The Torah level restriction of chametz kicks in only during the 7th hour of the 14th of Nisan. After noon. So what's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? Well, Rabbi Yehuda holds that during the 5th hour, that's the time you cannot eat, but you can feed the animals. Disnan, Rabbi Meir Omer, Oichlin Kol Chomesh, Vesorfin Betchilas Shesh. Rabbi Meir says, you can eat during the 5th hour and at the beginning of the 6th hour, which on a 12 hour from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., the beginning of the 6th hour would be 11 a.m. till 12. That's the 6th hour. That's the time you burn the chometz. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oichlin Kol Arba. Rabbi Yehuda says that you have till the 4th hour to eat, the Toilin Kol Chamesh, and it remains in suspense during the 5th hour, the Sorfin Betchilas Shesh, and the burning is at the beginning of the 6th hour. So far, our Mishnah, which led to the inference that the hours that you're not allowed to eat, you cannot feed others, that is not like Rabbi Yehuda, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, the 5th hour is an hour during which you are not allowed to eat, but you could feed others. You could feed the animals. The Elomai, Rabbi Meir, he. Well, what do you want to say then, that our Mishnah conforms to Rabbi Meir? Well, why would you think that? Well, Rabbi Meir did say that you can eat during the 5th hour, and at that time you could also feed. So it would stand to reason then that our Mishnah that says during the time that you can eat, you can feed, would match Rabbi Meir. Well, still, it doesn't. Because if it were Rabbi Meir, Hai kol shel shemutu le'echol ma'achil, the language is a little cumbersome if it were to be in accordance with Rabbi Meir, because the language of the Mishnah should have been kol shel she'ochel. Instead of saying kol shel shemutur le'echol, it should have been more simplistic or streamlined and say kol shel she'ochel, the hours that you eat, ma'achil, you feed the animals, mi boyale. That's what it should have said if our Mishnah was in accordance with Rabbi Meir. Therefore, the Gemara says, in truth, our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda, and it's not Rabbi Meir either. Omar, and this answer takes a few lines to develop. Notice the long answer marking. Omar Rabo Bar Ula Masnisin Rabon Gamliel Hi. Our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabon Gamliel. Disnan, Rabon Gamliel Omer. Chulin Necholin Kol Arbo. Chometz, that happens to be of a common nature. Chulin, meaning non-truma, non-kochim, it's common, mundane food, that you have the 4th hour in which to eat. Truma, kol chomesh. Kehanim have a right to continue eating truma during the 5th hour. V'sorfin betchilas sheish, at the beginning of the 6th hour, then we burn the chometz. V'hochi ko'omar. And now, having stated Rabbi Gamliel's shita in the source we just quoted, we're now going to weave this information back into our Mishnah. And this rereading will then be sensitive to the language change or the language point, the nuance that we made reference to before at the end of our long question. The Hachi Komar, and thusly you should understand our Mishnah. Kol Shah Shemuter Le'echol Kohen Betruma. In other words, he's the outsider, so to speak, that as long as he, the Kohen, is allowed to eat truma, that's during the 5th hour. Yisrael ma'achil chulin lebeimo l'chaya ul'ofos. So the non-Kohen, the Yisrael, he can feed the chulin, chulin chometz that he still has. The chulin is the mundane, common food that he, at this hour, can no longer eat. But he can feed his animals. So that the expression of kol shel shemutur le'chol, Rashi gives a little added twist to this. It's nice to see. Rashi says, "Ela hochi ko'amar kol shel she'yesh heter l'shum adam le'chol." At the hour that anybody, that some person, in this case it's the Kohen, that some person can eat, so then you, the non-Kohen, ma'achil af ha'osu le'chol, you can feed that which you cannot eat, libehemto, to your, you can feed your animals. The Gemara now focuses on a new point. Our Mishnah and the source as well had made reference to the different animals. Why spell them out as they did? We spelled out Behemo, Chayo, and Ophos, and we want to know why is that necessary. And we have a topic heading on the side under our No Say heading, Hatzorech L'chol HaDugmos B'Mishnah Behemo Chayo V'Of. And another issue that will be dealt with is Loma Kotoni Umochro L'Nochri. Why does the Mishnah have to spell out the heter that you have in selling to a Gentile? Let's now continue in the Gemara. Loma li lemisna behemo, loma li lemisna chaya. Why was there a necessity of spelling out behemo, which are domesticated animals, and chaya, the undomesticated animals? The Gemara answers, and this is a long answer. You could see it's we call this a tsrichusa. Tsricha, I need both. The itana behemo. If I would have had just behemo taught that you're allowed to feed it, the e mishaira, if the behema, which is a domesticated animal, were to leave over any of the chametz you gave it, chazi le, you, the owner, would see it and destroy it. So we can see why you'd be allowed to feed the behema. Avo chaya di mishaira komatz meimalo, but a chaya, an undomesticated animal like a chulda, Rashi explains, gives examples of this, a chulda, nemiya, chosel, different animals, without committing ourselves to any formal translation, but we can say things like a weasel or a rat or a cat. You might be asking yourselves, why would you want to feed a rat anyway? But whatever the case is, these kind of animals, that in the event that they don't finish the food you gave them, they hide their food. It's not like a cow, when he finishes eating whatever he has and he has leftovers, they remain there. These animals are mitzna from the word sonua, hidden away. So maybe those kind of animals you wouldn't be allowed to feed during the fifth hour of the 14th of Nisan. If they hide it away, so you're not going to find it, and if you still have it in, it's still in your domain, in your possession, but you can't find it, so then you'll be in violation of the Torah saying Baal Yiroeh Baal Yemotzei. V'i tono chaya, and if the Mishnah would have taught that you can feed a chaya, mishum di mishayra mihas mitzna. Well, even if it does leave it over, at least it hides it away, so you wouldn't be in violation of the prohibition of Yiroh, Baal Yiroh. That's what Rashi points out, where the Torah says, you shall not see your chametz, and you won't see it. Avol behema zimnin de mishayra v'lo masik adayte. With regard to an animal, though, if you feed it during the fifth hour, it might leave over, and it won't occur to you, Rashi says, levatlo, you will not have been mevatelit, which is to annul it. And if in that event that you are left with chametz that you see and you haven't annulled, v'koi alei b'bal yiro b'al yimotze, and you will then be in violation of what the Torah says, lo yiroeh l'cho v'lo yimotze, you shall not see nor find chametz. So aim lo, maybe, therefore, in the case of the behema, you would not be allowed to feed it during the fifth hour. Tzricha, therefore, we have to tell you that you are allowed, even though these chashoshos, these points of concern, might exist in your mind, don't worry about it. Oifos lomalif. Well, why spell out oifos, birds? The Gemara answers, Aidi de tona behemo v'chaya, since the Mishnah taught these kind of creatures, behemos and chayas, tona nami oifos. So, to complete the list of the animal kingdom, if you will, so the Mishnah throws in birds as well. The Gemara continues now with another point mentioned in the Mishnah, umochro lenochri, that during the fifth hour, you are allowed to sell the chometz to a Gentile. The Gemara says, pshita, that would seem to be obvious. In other words, once you sell it to the Gentile, it's no longer yours, and it's no different than giving your chometz to animals to eat. Why is it necessary to spell out this point? The Gemara says it is necessary because there happens to be another Tanaic opinion that would not allow giving or selling chometz to a Gentile during the fifth hour. La'afuke mehai tano, to the exclusion of the following Tanaic opinion, Desanya. We have a source, a Tanaic source that you can see is framed, and it goes till the second line from the top of Amud Beis. Beishamai omrim, lo yimkor odom chimso lenochri, elim kain yodea bo shichle kodim pesach. Beishamai says, you shall not sell your chometz to a Gentile unless you know it will be finished before Pesach. And you might ask yourself, once you sell it to the goy, once you sell it to the Gentile, what connection do you have to it? So Rashi explains at the bottom, where we've dashed underlined in the Rashi, because Beis Shammai is of the opinion it's mitzvah olov levaro min ha'olam velo she'kayam, that the mitzvah of biur chometz is getting it out of the world, out of existence. So if you are so close to the onset of Pesach, there's certainly no guarantee that within a few hours the chometz that you sold to him will be out of the world, will be totally destroyed before Pesach, and you will then not have fulfilled your requirement. So our Mishnah is telling us, don't worry about that. All that matters is that it's not in your, the Jew's, possession. Ubeis Hillel omrim, kol sho shemutur lecho, mutur limkor. If you are allowed it to eat the chametz, you're during hours that you're allowed to eat it, you can also sell it. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is going to reflect a thought that is similar to Beis Shammai, but he gives you a specific example. He says, kusach, the chol mine kusach. Kusach is a type of food. It's actually a type of dip that has a very long shelf life to it. It's a chometz. It has chometz ingredients to it, and therefore he says the kusach and any variation of a kusach osir limkor shloshim imkadim lePesach. You cannot sell it to a Gentile 30 days, within 30 days of Pesach. In other words, if your standard kusach will be kept in people's cupboards for a month's time. So the Rashi explains on the second line from the top, Shloshim Yom, the Sviru Lake of Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is of the opinion of echoed by Beis Shammai, that your obligation with regard to chometz destruction is getting it out of the world, getting rid of it completely, not just getting it out of your possession. V'zeh eino nechal maher. This is not something that's consumed quickly. V'shein ochlano so'elo matbilin bo. It's not something that you eat straight, but rather you dip into it. V'hani shloshim yoim, the significance of 30 days. Mishal shechal olav choivas bior. This is the time, this is the date that the obligation of ridding oneself of his chometz begins. That's the time period that we start learning the laws of Pesach. This is something that we learned about in the first perek as well. We should just point out that our explanation is following that of Rashi, that parallels Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira to Beis Shammai. The Tosfos has a comment on that point, but we will continue in the Gemara. Umutur behano. The Mishnah had mentioned that the hour during which you can eat, you can feed your animals, you can sell it to a Gentile, and you are allowed to benefit from it. So the Gemara asks, Pshita, is this not obvious? In other words, once you tell me that during the hour you're allowed to eat, you can feed your animals, you can sell it to a Gentile, are those not all examples of benefit that you're receiving? Why does the Mishnah add that you are allowed to benefit? It would seem obvious. Loi tzricha, the term muter b'hano is really a reference to the time after the prohibition of chometz sets in. What happened? Shechorchoi koidem zmanoi, you had burnt the chometz, you had singed it, burnt it before the iser set in, before the prohibition set in. The komash molon, And the Mishnah is telling us, Kidarabo, like Rabbah's teaching, the Omar Rabbah, Chorchoi Koidem Zmano Mutur Bahano Afilu Lachar Zmano. If you burnt the Chometz before the prohibition time, you can benefit from that result after the time of Chometz prohibition has set in. And as Rashi says, that if you burnt it very thoroughly, we'll say before the zman of before the time of prohibition set in, it no longer will have the taste or the appearance of the original chometz, and therefore, for our purposes, it's not considered chometz anymore. And that's why, even after the time of prohibition to benefit, you are allowed to benefit from this. The Mishnah said, "Ovar zmano osur bahanoso." Once the time has passed, the time that we allow you to eat and to benefit from has passed, so you cannot benefit from it anymore. Well, pshita, that would appear to be obvious as well. Lo, tzricho, no, it is necessary. L'sho'ois derabonan. We're talking about the sixth hour. That the Mishnah that says, Ovar zmano, its time has passed, that's a reference to the eating time has passed, which brings you into hours, or the hour of the day that is prohibited, but only from a rabbinic standpoint. That's Sho'os d'Rabbanan. Rashi, l'Sho'os d'Rabbanan klomar, hai zmano, the Mishnah that says, ovar zmano, it's osur, that word zmano, its time is zman, achiloso mashma, that's the time for eating. It's eating time has passed. V'afilu sho'o shishis. She'en isuro elo midurabonon. Have osir af behano. Even during the sixth hour, whose prohibition is only rabbinic, but it happens to be osir to benefit from it, from a rabbinic standpoint. So when the Mishnah says Ovar Zmano, it means the eating time has passed, bringing you into a rabbinic phase, time period, and we're telling you during that time it's prohibited to benefit from it. The Omar Rav Gidol, Omar Rav, the Gemara continues, again, Omar Rav Gidol, Omar Rav Chio, Bar Yosef, Omar Rav Yochanan. HaMekadesh Mishay Shos Ulamalo, a person who offers money to a woman in marriage. Mekadesh is the process of marrying a woman by offering her money or something of money value. And you offer her from during the sixth hour. Mishay Shos Ulamalo is during the sixth hour and onwards. Afilu Bechiti Kurtenisa, even if what you offer her happens to be Kurdenisa wheat. These are wheat grains that are very hard, and it's very difficult for them to become chometz in the event that water is put on them. Nevertheless, even though they're, we'll say they represent a far-fetched case of chometz, but if you offer that to a woman, we'll call wet Kurdenisa wheat, during the sixth hour, ein choshishin l'kiddushin, we will, because of our imposing upon that time period a rabbinic prohibition of benefiting from them, and marrying a woman is a form of benefit, offering her something of value is a form of benefit, we will tell you that you have accomplished nothing in terms of marriage because of this isur hano'o midurabonan. The Gemara continues. Velo yasik bo tanor v'kirayim. Pshita. Well, is we already said that once you're in this time period of Isur Hano, you cannot benefit from it. So why does the Mishnah add that you cannot fire up a stove with the chometz? That's pshita. That's obvious. We already said it's usur to benefit from it at that hour. Loi tzricha. Elo le Rebbe Yehuda. This Mishnah is necessary to be taught in light of Shitas, the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda Omar. He said, "Ein biur chometz ela sreifa." The only way to burn chometz, to get rid of chometz, biur is the riddance of the chometz, is through burning. Salka daita chamina. I would have thought, "Hoyo vi omer Yehuda mitzvosu b'sreifa." that since he said the mitzvah of burning, of biur chometz, of destruction of chometz is through burning, Bahadi de kosorif lay lishani mine, while you are burning it, and the sixth hour is the time for burning. So I would have thought that since that's the time of since you're going to be burning it anyway, why not be allowed to benefit from it in having it provide the heat necessary for baking in the oven, or for strengthening the oven, which in the case of a clay oven, the firing up the oven strengthens it. So why not benefit from the chometz while it's burning? Kamash malon, so our Mishnah tells us, no, it's true you have to burn it, but you're not allowed to benefit from that burning, because you've already reached the sixth hour of the 14th of Nisan. We now start a sugya that is quite lengthy, and you'll notice on the side of the Gemara we have a nosei, topic heading, mivne, with a structural note. The house shape that will appear throughout the sugya, deos, these are opinions, minayin l'chometz b'pesach she'osir b'hano, from where do we know that chometz during Pesach is forbidden to benefit from? One cannot derive benefit from chometz during Pesach. And we've added in parentheses, be'oid inyonim u'mekoros be'isur hanoh. The Gemara, this is, as we say, a long sugya, and will expose us to other topics and sources regarding items from which one cannot derive any benefit. So now we begin with the issue of from where do we know that chometz is osir b'hano? Omar Chizkia, minayin l'chometz b'pesach she'osir b'hano, from where do we know that chometz on Pesach is forbidden to, one is forbidden to benefit from it? Answer, shenemar, lo ye'ochel chometz. From the fact that we read this word as ye'ochel, we learn from this, lo yehebo heter achila. One cannot have derived from it any heter achila, any allowance that will lead to eating. Let's take a look at Rashi, because here we're dealing with something that's of a very fine linguistic nature. Lo ye'ochel, Rashi says, midekorina lo ye'ochel. Here the emphasis is placed on the vowelization. From the fact that we read this word, instead of reading it, let's say, as lo yochal chometz, lo yochal would have meant you shall not eat chometz, but it's the vowelization leads us to reading it lo ye'ochel. So from the fact that we read it like that, mashma, it implies lo yehebo heter, there shall be no permission or benefit or allowance hamevi lidei shum achila that will lead to any eating. Ustam hanois lidei achilo hebos. The standard hano'o is something that leads to eating. Shelokeach bedomim davar maichol. In other words, this prohibition includes the selling of the chometz, because once you sell the chometz, you get cash for that. What do you do with the cash? You almost inevitably will buy food with the cash. So the chometz that you had, that you sold it and it led to eating. Not eating the chometz, but it led to a form of eating. So the lo ye'ochel chometz is, as Rashi points out, is there shall be no benefit that you receive from the chometz that will lead to eating. Again, the emphasis here is you're not necessarily going to be eating chometz, but it's benefit from the chometz that leads to eating. So that's what we learn from lo ye'ochel chometz, and as the Gemara darshened, lo yehebo heter achila, there should be no heter allowance that leads to achila that one derives from the chometz. So in very simple terms, it's a general prohibition of benefiting from chometz. Now we infer time of the kos of Rachmano lo ye ochel chametz. The reason I know that chametz is forbidden to benefit from, not only to eat but to benefit from, is from the way we read the pasuk. Ha lo kos of lo ye ochel. Had it not the Torah not written out lo ye ochel havamino, I would have thought iser achilo mashma iser hano lo mashma. That the letters Yud Aleph Chof Lamed, if it would have appeared it, as it does appear, but if it were not read and vowelized like we said, then it would have implied only the prohibition of eating and not the prohibition of benefiting from it. In other words, don't eat it, but you can sell it. So what we've said so far is the only reason, according to Chizkiah, that I know that Chometz is usher to benefit from is because of the vowelization, lo ye ochel, as we have inserted the vowelization in our Gemara markings text. Well, this approach is at odds or differs from the approach taken by Rabbi Abvohu. Upliga de Rabbi Abvohu. Rechizkiah is at odds or differs from Rabbi Abvohu's approach. And in order to present Rabbi Avol's approach, we have added a long point marking, and this will take us till the end of the first few lines of Chof Beis Omed Aleph. And it's worth pointing out that this topic comes up in other Gemaras as well, so that when you learn it here, you're also benefiting by becoming familiar with the same sugi that appears elsewhere in Shas. Well, what does Rabbi Avo say on this matter? The Omar Rabbi Avo, Kol Mokom Shneamar, where you see these words, Lo Yochal, Lo Sochal, Lo Sochlu, basically, it's any word whose shoresh, whose root is Aleph Chof Lamed, which has to do with Achila, when the Torah says, don't engage in eating, Echod Isur Achila Ve'echod Isur Hano B'mashma. In fact, it goes beyond the eating prohibition, the prohibition of eating, but we are including the prohibition of benefiting as well. Ad sheyifrot loch hakosuv kederach sheporat loch bevenevelo. This blanket prohibition will apply until or unless the Torah spells out an exception, as it does in the case of nevela. Nevela is meat that has not been slaughtered properly, or an animal that is dead. It is called nevela, and it is usur to eat. The Torah says it's usur to eat nevela. The question is, if you have, let us say you have an animal that was not shechted properly, what do you do with the carcass now? What do you do with that meat? So we know you're allowed to sell that to a non-Jew. Well, you're allowed to benefit from it. Well, how is that? Does the Torah not say don't eat nevela? And according to Rabbi Avo, once the Torah says don't eat, it means you cannot benefit from it in any way, in any form. So how is it that when it comes to nevela, we know you're allowed to, yes, benefit from it? Not eat it, but yes, benefit, sell it to a Gentile or give it to your dog. So the reason I know that is because the Torah spells that out. It doesn't leave you just with the prohibition of eating, but adds the benefit you're allowed to receive from it. Desanyo. And here we have a Tanaic source that reveals this information. Loi soichlu kol nevela, lager asher b'shrecha titnena, v'ochlo o mechor lenochri v'chulei. So the Torah says, do not consume nevela. Nevela is the unslaughtered, dead animal. But rather, what do you do with it? So you give it to the ger. The ger is the sojourner in your midst. He is a person that has accepted upon himself what we refer to as the seven Noahide halachas. He has not converted. We're not talking about a ger who is a religious convert to Judaism, but rather we call him as a religious sojourner. He has, as we said, accepted the seven Noahide laws, but that does not include the laws of kashrus, so he continues eating unkosher. Well, if you have nevela, then and you have a ger who lives in your midst, give it to him, or sell it to a nochri, to a non-Jew, to a Gentile. A nochri will include someone like an idol worshipper. To an idol worshipper, you can sell it. So, ein li elo leger benesino lenochri b'mechira. From the pasuk, if you read it in a very literal fashion, it says when it refers to the ger, it says titnena, means give it free. And when you look at the pasuk again in a fairly literal fashion, when it comes to the idol worshipper, it says sell it to him. So all I would know is that. How about flipping things around? Leger b'mechira minayin. How do you know that you would be allowed to sell it to the ger? Tamud lomar, by moving the comma, so to speak. Now, of course, there's no punctuation in the Torah, but in the standard reading form, there's an imaginary comma in the pasuk, and that imaginary comma, now we didn't draw it in, we didn't write it into our text, because that could confuse things. However, in your mind's eye, after the word v'ochla, right before the word oy mechor, you would have a comma. So we're asking, how do you know that you'd be allowed to sell it to the ger? Well, in order to know that, you'd have to move the imaginary comma forward a bit, and you would read the pasuk like this: La ger asher bisharecho titnena oy mechor. In other words, you're reading the mechor together with the titnena. In other words, when you're dealing with the ger, you have that option as well. Either give it to him as a gift or sell it to him. What about the next scenario? Lenochri benasina minayin. What about giving it without payment, called free, giving it to the nochri for free? How do you know that you would be allowed to do that? Once again, because according to the simple reading of the pasuk, that did not seem to be an option. Well, how do you know that it is? Once again, this is a function of moving that imaginary comma backwards a bit in the pasuk, and you would read it as follows: Talmud loymar, titnena, the ochla, oy mechor lenochri. Notice how you have the word titnena, which means free, give it to for free, together with nochri, and that's what we've tried to do with our dashed underlining to show how we can connect these. Now we haven't played around at all with the order of the words in the pasuk. We've left the pasuk intact. All we've done is we've moved the imaginary comma backwards and forwards in order to yield this additional information. Nimseis Omer, the Gemara continues with the result of what we've done. The result is echod ger ve'echod nochri, whether it be a ger or the idol worshipper, bein b'mechira, bein b'nesina. Both options are available with regard to each one of those persons. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's approach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says dvorim k'ksavim. He says you stick to the pasuk as it is, the simple reading, as we said initially. And what does that result in? Leger b'nesina, lenochri b'mechira. The only option with regard to a ger is giving it to him free. With regard to an idol worshipper, you don't give it to him free. You, if you have a nevela and the only one you have available to deal with is the idol worshipper, so you sell the meat to him. My time of Rabbi Huda, what leads Rabbi Huda to be so restrictive? Answer: E salka daitoch ki de'oma Rabbi Meir. If you were to think like Rabbi Meir, then lichtoiv rachmona, the pasuk would have been more streamlined. It would have said, la ger asher bisharecha titnena v'ochla umechor. However, oi lomali, the word oi appears in the pasuk as well. What is that word doing there? In other words, if in the original pasuk, it doesn't read like was just suggested, la ger asher bisharecha titnena the ochla, and then umechor, connecting the mechor to that which preceded. Rather, right before the word umechor, in the original pasuk, you had the word oy. What is it doing there? The word oy in English might mean or. Why is it there? If both options were available when dealing with the ger, so it would have read titnena v'ochla umechor. So oy lomali shma mino, the presence of the word o tells me lidvorim kiksavim, that you read the pasuk as it is in a literal fashion with the division. The ger method is only free giving, and the idol worshiper method is only selling to him. For Rabbi Meir, well, what does Rabbi Meir say? So Rabbi Meir, who had the called the sliding comma approach that allowed both approaches with regard to both individuals, what is the role of the word oi? So he says, oi lahaktim nesino de ger lemechira de nochri. Even though both options are available with regard to both people, you should opt for the first choice that you should opt for is the free giving to the ger. Give that prominence or preeminence over sale or sale to idol worshipper. For Rabbi Yehuda, he says regarding that role of all lo tzarech kro, you don't need a pasuk for that. That's something you could know on your own without the oi word. Kevon de ger ata mitzuv lach yosef v'nochri ata mitzuv lach yoso. Since the ger is an individual that we Jewish people are obligated to sustain, if you have a ger living in your midst, a Gentile who's accepted upon himself the 7 Noahide laws, we the Jewish people have to take special care of those people. Mitzvah l'achyosu, we have to sustain him. V'nochri i'ato mitzvah l'achyosu, an idol worshiper is not someone you're obligated to sustain. So lo tzorech kro, you don't need the word oi to show, give precedence to the giving free to the ger. Savorahu, that is a matter of logic. We continue. At this point, the Gemara is going to tie these opinions back to the issue of the Isser Hano'a that we made reference to earlier. Bishlamo l'Rebbe Meir, diomar echod ger ve'echod nochri, bein b'mechira bein b'nesina. According to Rebbe Meir, and we can say Rebbe Avohu, who cited these Tanoim, Rebbe Avohu, who mentioned that, how do I know that the expressions lo yisoychal or lo yochal lo sochlu mean isur hano? Well, because if the Torah wants to say permission to benefit, so it spells it out like it does by nevela. Where do we see this spelled out? Well, when you look at Shitas Rebbe Meir, what did Rebbe Meir say with regard to the nevela? The Torah is coming to tell me, well, when you have nevela on your hands, you can do with it basically whatever you want other than eating it. You can sell it or give it as a gift to a ger, to a nochri. You have heter, hano, you have the allowance, the permission to benefit from it. So we say, Bishlamo Rabbi Meir di Omar, according to Rabbi Meir, who said, by the nevela echod ger v'echod nochri, bein b'mechira bein b'nesina, that when it comes to the nevela, whether it be a ger or a nochri, or an idol worshipper, whether it be a sale or giving as a gift, you can do any of those things. From the fact that the kro, the Torah, went out of its way, lemishra, to allow hano, benefit from nevela, we can infer ha kol isurim sheba Torah, when it comes to any other kind of prohibited item in the Torah, bein b'achila, bein b'hano. There, the prohibition is across the board. It's not only eating, but also benefit. Just to repeat the point, because we see, from the case of nevela, according to Rabbi Meir, if the Torah wants to allow benefit, it will tell you, this you can benefit from. If it doesn't spell that out, it just says, lo sochal, don't eat. Understand, not only not eat, just don't eat, but don't benefit either. So that works out well according to Rebbe Meir. Ella the Rebbe Yehuda. Again, we're focusing on Rebbe Avohu, who introduced to us not only Rebbe Meir but also Rebbe Yehuda. According to Rebbe Avohu, Aliba de Rebbe Yehuda, Diomar Dvorim Kiksavam Hu, that the Posuk by Nevela is to be taken literally. The Dvorim Kiksavam Hu de also. It comes to tell me procedure. If you have Nevela, you are to give it, as your options are as follows, either giving it free to the ger, or second option, or less desirable option, is selling it to an idol worshiper. And the Torah spelled that out with that purpose. Not to tell me that you're allowed to benefit from Nevela. That's not the point of the Torah, according to Reb Yehuda. The point of the Torah with regard to Nevela is telling me how to, we'll say, dispose of the Nevela insofar as other people are concerned. So we ask, Ha kol isurin shebetorah mino lei de asurin bano? From where, according to Reb Yehuda, would I know that the other prohibited items in the Torah are not only prohibited in eating, but also prohibited to benefit from them? The Nevela Pasuk is not available for that. The Nevela Pasuk, as we said, we're being a bit repetitious here, the Nevela Pasuk was to spell out the order of how you dispense with the Nevela. So the Gemara answers, Nafkole, Rabbi Yehuda will learn out the general Isur Hanov, other Isurim in the Torah, me, from the Pasuk of Trefa, Mila Kelev Tashlichun Oisoi. Trefa in rabbinic literature, it doesn't mean, like in common jargon, we refer to simply something that's unkosher, but Trefa is, it's true, it is unkosher, but by virtue of the fact you have a kosher variety animal, a cow, a goat, a sheep, those kind of animals, but develop some type of organ deficiency or imperfection, or as is often the case, a hole in one of its vital organs, that would render it a trefa. So in that topic that we call trefa, the pasuk says, well, if you've got a trefa, it says, in addition to you're not allowed to eat it, it also says, La kelev tashlichun oisoi. And we infer from this, oisoi atamashlich lekelev, throwing it to a dog is a form of benefit. You're allowed, you are receiving benefit by having food to feed to your dog. So the Torah says, if you have a trefa, don't eat it. It says, lo sochlu. It says lo sochlu there, but it also says la kelev tashlichun oisoi, throw it to the dog. And we infer oisoi, we're at the top of Chof Beis Omer Aleph, oisoi tamashil flikelev, that, namely it, the trefa you're allowed to give to the dog, which means you're allowed to get hanor from it, viatomashil flikelev kol isun shebetorah. But other prohibited items that concerning which it says lo sochal, you are not allowed to benefit from. So, Rebbe Avo, in presenting Rebbe Yehuda, will tell you, basically, the idea of lo yochal, lo sochal, lo sochlu, that when you see the Torah use those expressions, it really does mean not just a prohibition of eating, but the prohibition of benefiting from it. And how does Rabbi Yehuda know that that's how to read those words? Because in the case of trefa, you see that it spells out, in addition to the lo sochlu, in addition to the prohibition of eating, it spells out the heter, the permission to benefit. However, in any other case where the Torah doesn't spell out the permission to benefit, so we will assume, like Rabbi Avo says, that the expression lo sochal or lo yochal or lo sochlu means not only prohibition of eating, but prohibition of receiving any benefit. What we call an Isur Hanor. So far then, Rabbi Meir learned Rabbi Meir's source of for Rabbi Avol's halacha would be the Nevela case, where Heter Hano is spelled out, and Rabbi Yehuda learns that from the Trefa case, where the Torah spells out the Heter Hano. The Gemara now goes back and forth between the two Tanoim, Rabbi Meir. Oisoi, what does Rabbi Meir do with the Oisoi posuk that Rabbi Yehuda used? So he says as follows, Oisoi atomashlich lekelev, vi atomashlich lekelev chulin shenishchatu ba'azora. Now, this is a kind of a new topic, we'll call it subtopic, this point of chulin shenishchatu ba'azora. literally, it's a reference to non-sanctified animals that were slaughtered in the temple courtyard. The temple courtyard is a place for slaughtering sacrifices, not a place for sacrificing the mundane. And sacrificing common animals in the temple courtyard is forbidden. How forbidden is it? Well, according to Rabbi Meir, its prohibition is of a Torah origin, and you see that from the inference made by learning the word oisoi in the case of trefa. Namely, in the case, what is Rabbi Meir saying? A trefa that you have in your possession, that meat you're allowed to throw to the dog. There's another kind of meat you're not allowed to throw to the dog, you're not allowed to benefit from it, and that's the case of chulin shenishchatu bazora. Now, did we not say just now that it's also to benefit from it? Let us point out that chulin shenishchatu bazora, there is no pasuk concerning it that says don't eat it. So I don't have a lo sochal or lo sochlu pasuk which would have otherwise told me the prohibition of Hanah, the Isur Hanah, with regard to Chulin Shenishcha Bazara. So how do I know that Chulin Shenishcha to Bazara is in fact Osir Bahanah? I learn it from the inference drawn from this word Oisoi by Trefa. Rashi spells out a lot more by way of sources for Chulin Shenishcha to Bazara with other psukim, etc. But for our purposes, we're trying to focus on the main point to try to keep things simple. And as we said, according to Rabbi Meir, Oisoi by Trefa has a specific role. It serves, through inference, of course, it serves as the source of Isur Hanah for Chulin Shenishcha to Bazara, which otherwise I wouldn't have known the Isur Hanah because there is no lo sochal posuk by chulin shenishchatu bazara. Ve'idach, Rabbi Yehuda, who used the lakelev tashlichun oisoi posuk to be the source of isur hanor regarding all other kinds of isurim, what about this point that Rabbi Meir just made? The idach, Rabbi Yehuda, chulin shenishchatu bazara lav d'oraisahi. The prohibition of chulin shenishchatu bazara is not based on a Torah law. Therefore, psukim, there aren't any psukim that are dedicated to chulin shenishchatu bazara. Now, just let's add one point. As far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, when we say the chulin shenishchatu bazara is not doraisa, it means the Isur Hanah. Its Isur Hanah is not doraisa. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is not going to be using the pasuk of Kelev Tashlichun Oso to teach me about Chulin Shenishcha Bazar and its Isur Hanah, when in fact its Isur Hanah, its benefit prohibition is not something that's of a Torah origin to begin with. We are, of course, in the context of a Daf Yomi Shir, and at this point we've completed our Daf, namely Daf Chof Aleph. We are, in effect, in the middle of a Sugya. We mentioned this earlier, that the Sugya lasts till Daf Chof Daled. So, Mir Tzashem, next time we will introduce a series of topics of other issues where we see the Torah says do not eat from them, and according to Rabbi Avoh, once the Torah says do not eat, you would think that it means you cannot have any benefit from them, and yet you are allowed to benefit. And if you just scan ahead, you'll see examples of this. And along the side, the outside margin, we've added triangles with words in them that feature these different topics, so that if you have on hand, for example, your Daf Chof Aleph, which you're looking at right now, you see Gid Hanoshe in the outside margin in a triangle. The Gid Hanoshe is the type of nerve that's in the back leg of an animal that one is not allowed to eat, and yet we seem to say that you're allowed to benefit from it. And later we have the issue of blood, something else you're not allowed to eat, but seemingly you're allowed to benefit from it. You can sell it, use it as fertilizer. On Amud Beis, more topics will appear. Avram Minahai, Shor HaNiskal, Orla, all kinds of things where we will be bringing Rabbi Avo's rule into question. How exactly? Of course, that will be the job or the topic of the upcoming sugya. So before we conclude today's shiur, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.